Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. Ira Kaufman, a man who's been harassing Baker Mayfield all week. He's been hanging out with us.
You know, he looks at me and he thinks rat poison now. You know, that's the line he gave me a month ago, rat poison.
Some fans that didn't like your questioning of Mayfield, Ira, but we'll talk about that.
Oh, now come on, Steve. All
we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Hey, you know, fans are entitled to their opinion. And this is the Ira Kaufman podcast. That is the voice of Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the water damage whisperer, king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks fan is here, Ira. And we're excited. We got a lot to get to on this podcast. Things happening behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. Huge game on Sunday that we have to predict and project.
It's an opportunity for the Bucks to pad their lead a little bit.
Yeah, Panthers are off. Bucks can take a full one-game lead with four to go. So that's a fantastic spot to be in. But we'll get into the math and some other stuff. We are not far right now as we sit here from Bill Curry Ford, right there on Dale Mabry Highway on the east side, a mile north of the stadium. Don't worry, drive Curry. They have got so many incredible year-end offers. You have to just go to their website, BillCurryFord.com. 0% financing offers, money back offers, all kinds of things. On top of that, you can get the Ira Kaufman discount, which is legitimate. You just reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. You can do that on the website, BillCurryFord.com. You can find him, Ira. You can send him a direct message there, or you can pop into the dealership, big, gorgeous, the giant as it's known, and ask him for that there. And of course, people still need service on their vehicle, and mobile service is available at your home. They've got 100 loaner vehicles if you need service. And Sean, our good buddy, is paying top dollar for your trade right now. It may be worth $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $6,000, more than you think it is. Get to BillCurryFord.com. A lot of people love to shop for a vehicle now, Ira. Do it at Bill Curry Ford, family-owned for 65 years.
Service department open Sunday, Steve. Open on Sunday.
65 years, family-owned makes a difference. And we'll talk a little later about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have a mold problem, they are your licensed mold remediation specialists. And they're also there for you for any other in-home disaster at your property or business property. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get educated there. See their five-star Google reviews. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Also a family-owned, brilliant operation. So, Ira, I don't know where to start with you. Lee, you have a spot you want to start? Because I got a lot of spots.
The video we had this morning, Ira, Todd Bowles unloading on his defense in the fourth quarter. Your thoughts?
Well, I think it's warranted. They've played lousy football now for 4 weeks since the bye week. They haven't played any good defensive games. I know that you could say, well, wait a minute. They only gave up 17 points last week. First of all, it's a backup quarterback who shredded you for most of the day.
300 yards.
Their pest defense is a major problem. I'm not sure the Saints have the talent to exploit it, but Carolina's got a heck of a rookie wide receiver. He's as good or not better than Igbuka right now, because Igbuka's quarterback is better than Carolina's quarterback. So you factor that in, and this kid McMillan is who the Bucs might have taken if he was there, if he wasn't off the board. We'll never know from Jason Light. But anyway, Bowles is fed up. I think he's fed up. The shoddy tackling, which I think has been a problem for years now. I think he said the same thing last year. We don't tackle well. And the stats back them up. Yards after catch, they're bottom five. They're bottom five. And those little five-yarders that turn into 13, they're driving Bulls crazy.
Yeah.
They're absolutely driving Bulls crazy. They haven't covered the flat well all year long, starting with Bijan Robinson on the third snap of the season.
That's right.
Going 50 yards. You know, and it hasn't gotten much better. What has gotten better is their kickoff coverage is a little bit better, special teams. The punter was great last week, you know, and McLaughlin's McLaughlin. He don't miss. So, you know, the Bucs got some things going for him. I think the biggest news is guys are coming back. I mean, even Kancey could come back in a couple of weeks. And, you know, let's be honest. If the Bucs are at full throttle, you know, which not a lot of teams are going into January, I think the Bucs are a team that can do a little damage in the postseason with a full complement of players. But the defense got to pick it up because – I'm not that concerned about the offense now that Bucky Irving's back. I think the offense is going to be fine. They got to make some stops, Lee.
Let me go back to the video that Lee mentioned. So for the listeners who didn't see it, a TikTok video emerged. Looks like fan video from, you know, sitting behind the bench.
Is there audio?
No audio. No. And basically you see the defense gathered around Bowles, and he's kind of, look, you only see the back of his head, but it's obviously Bowles. See a little bit of the side of his head, and he's animated. Look, you see his jaw move, and he's chewing him out.
What part of the game?
Fourth quarter, we believe. Now, I'm connecting dots here. We do know that Bowles shut out his defense right before they went on the field for the final four and out. We know that because I had two players telling me that. And this guy, whoever he is, he went by some, you know, generic username. He pointed out it was the fourth quarter. So I'm just connecting the dots. You know, Bowles doesn't unload on people very often. So I don't think he's going to do it twice in one quarter. So I'm assuming, again, it's an assumption, but I think it's a fair assumption that this guy captured the moment Bowles unloaded on the defense. Because their faces were like, oh, my God. His arm was pumping. You could see his jaw going. He was mad.
Lee, he saw the game slipping away, and so did we.
Yes,
from our perch in the press box.
Everybody in the stadium felt that. Yeah,
I didn't feel that. I can't speak for
me
on
that. But Steve, you know what's easily forgotten in that game? The Bucks were winning 17-3, over a terrible team with a backup quarterback, not a lot of weapons around quarterback, and that game should have been over. Step on their throat, Lee.
Yes.
Don't step on their neck.
Well, Ira sits next to me in the press box when he's not bouncing around.
I'm not grabbing an ice cream. Yeah, that's
grabbing
right.
an ice cream and working. You know, when you went downstairs and talked to Simeon or Ira.
That's right.
When Ira's
I got
not
into
working,
a fight with Seth at the same time.
You turned to me and you said, is this what they call a slog? And that's a perfect word. It was a slog. It was boring. It was almost like the Bucks didn't care.
Didn't you and I both say at that point, they're letting them hang around.
Yeah.
They're letting them hang around.
And usually when you let a bad team hang around, it burns you.
They made one stop at the end. Am I going to do jumping jacks over that?
I agree. And it was a great stop. Don't get me wrong.
I think you're being a little harsh. Now, I agree that the defense had its usual problems. Same defense we always see. Let up a ton of passing yards. And the run defense hasn't been as good this year. So it's kind of the same defense we always see. But they did come to play from the standpoint of Arizona's first three drives, interception, punt, punt. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me, oh, a horrible defense when they open up the game, interception, punt, punt, and they're up 17-3 late.
But at 17-3, you know the other team's throwing the ball. Shouldn't that help your pass rush?
I agree
Shouldn't
with you.
It?
You don't have a pass rush.
In the second half, a backup quarterback outscored the Bucks 10-7. Within 10 or 14-10.
He threw for 200 yards in the second half, Steve.
I'm not saying the defense was good. I never said that. I'm saying that as it being a little bit harsh. When it was 17-3, defense couldn't stop them late. But ultimately, when they had their chance, okay, defense, go close the game out. They did, and they did with relative ease.
But they were missing one of their big weapons in Harrison. They were missing him.
I understand.
The mix. Yeah.
But Harrison's missed the previous two games.
Well, as you pointed out, that was one of Arizona's lowest scoring points.
Second lowest of the year. So, what they do. San Francisco beat them by 3-4 points. The Rams beat him by
points or less. I mean, that's hard to do.
It's also hard to do 9 out of 10.
I'm asking you, is it a little harsh what we're saying about
well,
the defense?
Here's what's not harsh. A month ago, one of the things Bowles mentioned is killer instinct, showed no killer instinct.
Yeah.
And I think that's what drove Bowles crazy.
I agree.
Yeah.
I get this one, and it's a related question. I've made this point a couple times in the wake of Sunday's game. We know this past month the defense has been rotten. Since the bye, it's been rotten. How many times have you seen a team change in December? Pretty much when December comes around, you are what you are. And that's what scares me. I don't see this defense, not because Bowles can't do it, or you pick a coach, not because they can't do it. I just think, you know, it's December. This is who they are.
Lee, and that leads me to this point. And that's why I think there's a pretty decent chance that when this season ends, whenever it ends, one of the things we're going to look back and remark is they didn't pick anybody up at the trade deadline for this defense. That they could have assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
by
it takes
now.
2-3 weeks by now. Mm-hmm. And they stuck with what they got. And I'm not ultimately confident that what they have is enough on that side of the ball.
I tend to agree. The best way I could sum up this subject is with this question. And you're a veteran. You've been doing this, I don't want to say how long, but you've been doing this quite a long time. You've seen many more games in person than Steve and I will ever see. How many times have you seen a team change its stripes in December?
Not often.
Yeah.
Not often.
That's what concerns me.
Well, we've seen plenty of December collapses, and that's the equivalent of a changing of stripes.
Which is what Aqib Talib is talking about.
Like, I don't think you could just Well, I'm serious.
Yeah, right, but still, it's funny.
He can't just take it one direction. I do think what's happened on the defense is a few things. Aside from their usual nonsense, you got Jacob Parrish, looks to me like he's hit a rookie wall. Same thing with Elijah Roberts, who looks gassed a lot out there, playing a ton of snaps.
But look at the guys you're talking about that you're relying on, a rookie, Elijah Roberts.
Well, this is what the Bucs have decided to do.
I'm going to focus more on Reddick, Logan Hall, and Braswell.
I got you. I looked at there is no cavalry. Cavalry coming for the Bucs defense. Nope. None.
Lee, why did the Broncos have a hell of a defense? Now, they got Surtain, who's better than anybody. You know, he was the defensive player of the year, so he's great. But they're great on defense because they rush the hell out of you. You got no time.
The Bucs don't do that. Yeah.
They got to fix it, Steve. I don't know if they got to blitz more. How much more can you blitz?
I don't think that's going to change.
I think they still got some personnel changes they could make. And Morrison is going to come back, and he's shown
you
some.
You banking on him?
No.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he's shown some flashes.
Cansey could help.
Maybe he could, you know, help in coverage if they want to play tighter coverage. Cansey could help. And, you know, Izzian's a guy who's played some good snaps at nickel. And maybe you want to shake things up a little bit because Izzian really hasn't played much this year.
I don't think that's a terrible idea.
And maybe they just say, you know what, McCollum, you're loafing. You are not playing great. And Dean is, and we're going to let Parrish get out there and shake it up.
You mean Izzian?
No, let Parrish play outside. Let Izzian play the nickel, and yeah. McCollum, you're going to...
Yeah, because they're not going to play Izzian at corner. They're not going to do.
No.
Yeah.
Ira, you brought up something that I think we just glossed over. Cansey. Okay, he will help at that specific position. But he's such a talented guy. Putting him in the lineup, does that enable Bowles to do other things that would help out the defense as a whole?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I think he's a dynamic player when he's healthy. I do. I thought he was going to have a big year.
He is.
You know,
he's proven it.
I thought he was on the cusp of being special, and he got hurt.
So the question now is, with Jalen McMillan's not playing Sunday.
McMillan's icing on the cake, Steve, now that looks like Godwin's back. He's icing on the cake. You didn't have Ekbuka last year. McMillan went crazy. You know, McMillan's not one of the top three.
No, McMillan is almost irrelevant from the standpoint
of... I wouldn't focus on McMillan.
From the standpoint
of,
if Evans comes back, Godwin is already looking good, and Ibuka's there, they're not going to be running a ton of four-receiver stuff. I don't think they're going to never throw the ball to Shepard and all that stuff, so McMillan can still contribute, but it's not going to be major. But with all those guys coming back, can the Bucs offense get to the level where they were last year and cover for the defense?
You have to put up 30 points a game, I think.
I think this is a really good offense.
Could be.
You know, right guard's a little issue, but most teams have an issue at left guard or center or right guard.
Bucs had a right guard issue when he won the Super Bowl.
I love the fact that I thought Irving looked better, sharper, quicker cuts. Looked like the old Bucky.
As the game went on.
And I think that's going to be a big lift to this offense. As much of a lift as Mike Evans coming back, if not more.
That's a great point. I think.
And he's gonna rip off somebody's 20 or 30 yard runs, and it's really gonna help.
Sure, that's a great point. I think he averaged 3.8 Sunday.
3.6.
But he was clearly better in the second half. Much better. It was like he needed to shake the rust off.
He's gonna escape for somebody's long runs. He's gonna do it. He caught a 72 yard pass earlier this year.
Yeah.
Before he got hurt. So I'm not too worried about this offense. I think it's really good. Bredesen's back. I think that's big.
You think it's really good? Except
now I don't think Grizzard's as good a play caller as Coleman.
Well, you're
not right now.
Okay, so you're killing the defense for what you saw on Sunday, but the offense goes out and puts up 20 points.
He's setting you up.
Of course,
Bucky Irving's going to be better than he was.
And Godwin will be better.
And Evans is going to come back. And Godwin's going to continue to get better. And Mayfield was hampered. And you would think that that's going to clear up a little bit because it's a sprain. Are they going to average 28 points? I'm not willing to go there because Grizzard's not Cone. Not right now, he's not. So I think this defense has to pick up their game, Steve. He's frustrated. Bowles is frustrated because they don't swarm the ball like the great Buck defenses. Now, I'm not going to compare him to 2002, but, you know, can I compare him to 2021 or something? They don't swarm, Lee. So when the first guy misses the tackle, the guy's got 10 yards of open space to run, and we saw that all day on Sunday.
All right, Ira, I'm going to throw three things past you all together. You tell me what they mean collectively, and then Lee will chime in, all right? Number one, Rondé Barber had his show this week, WFLA streaming show. He said beating the Cardinals was much less a win and more like a mediocre effort of trying not to lose. And the same breath, he called for more urgency on defense. Urgency is what they need, which is code word for effort. And he mentioned effort earlier, mediocre effort. And you combine that with, I wrote a story earlier this week on JoeBucksFan.com about how Yaya Diaby and Zion McCollum were loafing on the first play from scrimmage of the second half. Now, nobody contacted me from One Buck. Nobody's agent asked me to pull it down. Nobody gave us mean looks.
Describe the play.
Describe the play. Simple. First play from scrimmage for the Cardinals, second half. They hand off to Bam Knight. Tyke Smith is coming in on the left on a run blitz. He didn't get him down. Okay, that happens. No knock on Tyke Smith. Zion McCollum is there. Bam Knight bounces it outside. Bam Knight runs over Zion McCollum, who then gets up and does not sprint to chase him down. 13 yards down the field, he gets tackled. And Yaya Diaby, who really was sort of unblocked on the run play on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage, was standing there watching the play and running like you do on the tennis court after you've played for 2 hours. So that was it.
You mean like not me running towards the Cuban sandwich in the Bucks press box?
No, just jogging toward the play.
You know, unblocked. Lee, you made a strong point because I tend to focus a little bit more on personnel and the roster and the depth chart. And your point, which I don't think is crazy, is they're not getting the most of what they do have because of effort and hustle. You know, you remember the old Monty Kiffin. There'll be no loafing under my watch. And he would call guys out, including Sapp, Brooks, Lynch, whoever. Wow. It didn't matter.
Which explains why Rondé Barber is doing that.
Yeah, that Monday morning, that Monday film session, even brutal. After wins, they were rough because they hold themselves to a high standard. This defense got to hold itself to a higher standard. And Bowles has been preaching and preaching, but as Steve just said, first play of the second half, you're not tired. There's no fatigue. And you got two guys that are not giving a full effort. That's got to drive a guy like Bowles crazy.
I don't know why it happens. Something's off. Something's just off.
I don't know if this is related or not. I was hoping this team would be able to make a Super Bowl run. And, you know, I was talking about, you know, foot on the throat, which we did not see at all Sunday. You make excuses for the Cardinals, go ahead. We did not see the foot on the throat. Just a couple years ago when Bruce Arians was here, 2020, 2021, when lousy teams came in to the Lighthouse, Bucks pounded them. Dolphins, Bears, I think the Chargers were bad 1 year. Bucks just pounded them. That's what I want to see from a good team.
That's what Denver just did to the Giants. Game over. Mm-hmm. Middle of the second quarter. Game over. Yeah. Game over.
That's what the Rams just didn't do to the Panthers.
That's right.
But they did do to the Bucks.
You know, now, Lee, here's something that can sometimes go unnoticed this year. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but the five losses to the Bucks have come against good teams. They're good teams. Detroit.
All of them.
Philly. Yeah. All of them. Detroit, Philly, New England, Buffalo, and the Rams. Not a stinker among them.
Are you suggesting the Bucks are actually beating the teams they should beat, but their problem is the better teams?
Well, I mean, They squashed the Saints before the bye, but now this looks like a different team after the bye. So that's a good example right there. The Saints weren't in that game, but Arizona was in that game.
Well, I mean, I was
let back into the game.
Yeah, I was specifically talking about a home game. You know, you mentioned often about a home field advantage. Well, back when Arians was around, rotten teams came into the Dale Mabry Stadium, and they got stomped.
By the way, we would be amiss, Lee, and you and I remarked about it. And Steve wasn't in place, but he was watching with a keen eye. The crowd sucked. The crowd sucked. Not only were there thousands of empty seats, not only that, Steve, but here's something that may not have come across on TV. I turned to Lee in the third quarter, and I said, there's not a peep in the stands going on. It's dead.
It was quiet.
It's absolutely quiet. Why? Why?
You can make excuses all day long. This was not one of the price gouge Glazer games. Where, you know, some games cost more than others. So the face value of the cheap seat in this game was 73 plus tax.
Nice weather, Lee.
Beautiful weather.
Nice weather.
No, and that includes fees. So you could get in for less than $80. Well, I'm not saying that's no money, but for professional sports in today's day and age, that's not a lot of money. And there were secondary market tickets flooded for less than $50. So the fans aren't excited. And
of course, they were on a three-game losing streak lately. Didn't help. That didn't
help. You could start saying holiday weekend, all this nonsense. It doesn't matter. The fans didn't want to be there in the numbers that we think were good.
I think
that may not be an excuse. Florida's full of transplants. What do people do on Thanksgiving? They go home. So maybe that is an element there.
I don't know.
I think we might see the same thing against the Saints. We might see the same thing.
Well, don't the Saints, even if they're lousy, don't they travel?
I see a lot of Buck ads now for tickets. Have you guys noticed it?
Sure.
I'm seeing a lot.
I can't explain fans not being excited, but you watch the game. It was kind of a dead-ish kind of game. Not exactly high-flying. You know, the Bucks don't throw deep. The Cardinals aren't very good. You know, it just wasn't that kind
of... But in a lot of cities, there's a constant roar.
We're not there. We're not there.
Yeah, we're not there.
For whatever reason, we're not there.
Will they ever be? I mean, this has gone on for 50 years.
Maybe the Brady years were different.
Definitely, because he was an international superstar. He brought buzz. This team's never had buzz like
that. I think
that.
It could be different. I think it comes down to a lot of things. And you know what? I got to say it, Ira. You know what? You let thousands more regular guys into training camp and get excited about the team. Maybe they want to come out when it's cheaper and you can get a ticket for $50.
You know, Lee, I asked Bowles after the game. You were working your magic in the locker room. And I asked Bowles after the game whether he thought there was some kind of a cloud lifted from ending the slide. And he didn't want to go there. No, nothing. In other words, we weren't in a funk. I'm looking ahead to this next game, Lee, and do you think they could play a little bit looser now that they stopped the slide, even though they weren't very impressive in doing so? Could that happen?
The only thing I can think of in a positive way is we were talking, we being the Penn and Mike Club, we were talking to a few players in the locker room. There's very much a dislike about the Saints, the slimy Saints. So maybe that will get them keyed up. I don't know.
I should have looked at you the other day, Lee, when we were both listening to Bowles and Steve, you heard Bowles' comments, and I should have looked at Lee because he was two seats down from me when Bowles said, very matter-of-factly, quote, "It all comes down to turnovers." And I should have just looked at Lee because he probably winced. Like, you remember that, Steve?
Yeah,
it's all between us and the Saints. It's always the turnovers.
Lee was doubled over. He was doubled over. Got to tell everybody, Florida's Elite Restoration, they are there for you 24/7. You have any disaster in your home, water damage is a crushing killer to your property, call them. They will respond 24/7 and mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call, and you'll get $500 back if you need Florida's Elite Restoration after their first free inspection. So you can't do any better than that. They're family owned. They've got the best technology that they'll come out to your home. They're licensed mold remediation specialists. They'll test for mold, water, whatever it is.
And they got Google reviews that we could only dream about, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast has, I think, 4.4 on Apple Podcasts. Florida's Elite Restoration is 5.0 across the board. And they're dealing with people that are in their worst time of their
life. They're setting the bar, Steve. They set the bar.
They crushed the bar. It's way too high. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Get there today. Educate yourself. Put them in your disaster plan, and you'll feel real good about it. A lot of people love to shop for a vehicle now, Ira. Do it at Bill Curry Ford, family-owned for 65 years.
Service department open Sunday, Steve. Open on Sunday.
65 years, family-owned makes a difference. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Before I forget, I mentioned it very early. You asked Baker Mayfield about the Panthers.
I did.
At his news conference.
I did.
Now, let's put a lot of people didn't like that. There were enough fans barking about it, thinking, oh, Ira's trying to be a wise ass.
I thought I might get a smart answer. Yeah, you know.
He's poking the bear. He's just looking for clicks, or he's just being that guy. And let's be realistic. You asked Mayfield about Canales and the surging Panthers and the Bucks race with the Panthers.
That's all Buck fans are talking about.
That's all Bucks fans are talking about.
Yep.
Your job is not to determine what Todd Bowles or Baker Mayfield thinks is appropriate. You're there to ask a question that may interest the fan base and enlighten them.
I asked the same question of Bowles and got a good answer. Yeah. Why couldn't Mayfield say, you know, he's doing a wonderful job? I hope he wins except when he plays us.
I can tell you why. Rat poison.
Rat poison. Rat poison.
So Mayfield dismissed you.
He did.
And that's fine.
You said it's Saints week, Ira. Saints week. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for the fans who didn't like that, Ira's not here to, you know, decide that, oh, I can only ask a question about the Saints. You know, the
fate of the Bucs is now intertwined with the Panthers.
Absolutely.
And there's no getting around that.
That's what the entire, if Baker Mayfield did an interview on NFL Network, they'd ask him about the surging Panthers.
Absolutely.
So, ridiculous.
And they're very unlikely to make the playoffs as a wild card. The Bucs, it's division or go home. So.
They are unlikely to make it as a wild card, but if they were to get to 11 wins and they ended at, let's say, they were tied with Seattle.
If they get to 11 wins, wouldn't they win the division?
So that would lock up the division, yeah.
What were you saying? Three more wins locks it up?
Yeah, mathematically.
The next three. Yeah. The next three.
If the Bucs win on Sunday, mathematically, they go to 8-5. And the Panthers would be 7-6 because they got a bye week this week. So if both teams win the following week, the Bucs would be a game ahead of the Panthers, and the Bucs would be 9-5. Then they square off in Charlotte. If the Bucs won that game, they'd go to 10-5. Panthers would drop to 8-7.
That's right.
And then the Bucs would lock up the division title with two games to play.
Because even if they tied, the Bucs would have a better division record. And that would be the tiebreaker.
Exactly. Because the Panthers lost 17-7 to the Saints.
And that's the game where we all said the Panthers are dead in the water, Steve. They're done.
Absolutely.
Look, and they're not done.
They've been one of the most inconsistent teams all year.
I mean, you couldn't think they were going to beat the Rams. But they did it. But they did it. Yeah.
They've been one of the most inconsistent teams all year, the Panthers. Bryce Young looks like a JV player one week. Next week he goes out.
They beat Atlanta by 30.
He throws
right,
three
Steve?
Touchdowns. Yeah,
they beat Atlanta by 30 to nothing.
Place. They look terrible in that Monday night game against the 49ers.
Yeah.
And then they come back and clobber the Rams. They didn't clobber them, but they've been able to run the ball, which is wild because they've got a ton of injuries on their offensive line. They've got the Buccaneers offensive line coaches who Todd Bowles didn't want anymore in Gilbert and Goodwin.
They're inconsistent because their quarterback's inconsistent. That's a big part of it.
That's a great point.
That's a great point.
They're just messy, but they've got injuries, and so we'll see. So, Ira, you think they'll fix the effort? You think they have it in them, guys?
If they can't fix it by now, I don't know how you fix it unless they make the playoffs, and maybe that gets them interested enough.
You know what could change things? Giving another guy a chance that hasn't had a chance, like an Izzyan. Throw him out there. Let's see what happens.
Okay, I thought you were talking about some.
I think Bowles might be thinking about that.
I thought you were talking about put some scrub on the defensive
Lee,
line.
Wouldn't you be thinking about that? Maybe make a move.
I probably
and one move could really send a message to the whole defense.
In the secondary, hell yeah,
one move exactly. Now one code word I think Ira that Todd Bowles has delivered multiple times this year. I haven't written about it yet, but I've got the multiple times when he's asked about Baker Mayfield and he's asked about Antoine Winfield. He always talks about their practice effort, and he always says, quote, they don't cheat the game. And it makes me wonder, well, who does cheat the game on your roster? Who you got on the roster who cheats the game? And he's talking about effort and practice, consistent effort. You know, like Mayfield, nobody could ever question his effort on any play. Can that stuff translate? Can he figure out a way? Does he have to maybe fire a coach, an assistant coach, say, look, your guys are dogging it. This is it.
That's not going to happen
in
December.
No.
Now, Lee, he mentioned Winfield, which is interesting because I think you'd agree with me, Lee. We're talking about effort. We're talking about hustle. And when Winfield's got it going, that's what it's all about.
New Orleans.
The hustle, the running the guy down before he's going into the goal line and knocking the ball out. He's made some incredible hustle plays. And we're not seeing, and I'm not just picking on Winfield, but we're not seeing that from this defense.
Haven't seen that from Winfield since New Orleans game. Now, I'm glad to hear that Bowles cited Winfield as someone who's not cheating the game because I was starting to wonder, and I said it to you earlier, Ira, I was starting to wonder, is he so hacked off about having two touchdowns stolen from him by inept zebras that he shut it down mentally?
I think he's more professional than that.
I would hope so.
I would hope.
I hate to even say that because I think so much of him, but I'm just looking at evidence, and the evidence doesn't say he's making any plays since then.
Steve, having said all this and chopped up the defense for 20 minutes, they're 7-5 with a pretty damn good chance to go 11-6. I'm not saying they're going to sweep the last five because sweeping the Carolina, that's no given. That's
exactly.
No given. So, Steve, if they're 11-6 going far, I know Baker Mayfield doesn't want to look ahead to the, you know, January, but I will. And Steve, they got a pretty much of a full complement of players, including Kancey. I'm not sure I want to play the Bucs in January.
They're a little dangerous.
I think they're a little dangerous.
Are very dangerous because in theory they will have enough talent to score 30 points a game. And if you don't want to play a team that can light it up like that, because we don't even know. Look, Godwin got injured after how many games last year? Seven, I think, in the seventh game. So we don't even know what Godwin, Evans, and Nobuka would look like on the field together, healthy.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Bucks fans may have never have seen anything that good.
You know, and the Bucks have some quality wins, Lee. I mean, Seattle, that's a hell of a win.
That's a quality win.
That's a hell of a win.
San Francisco quality win.
San Francisco's good. And, you know, Houston's not bad, Lee. They're not bad.
In retrospect, they're very
good. Now, they weren't playing great early in the year.
But that looks like a good win right now.
But it looks like a good win.
Yeah, absolutely. A fantastic comeback against what may be the best defense in football. So they've done some good things.
I tried to, you know, what Steve's talking about. We've never seen Evans and Godwin and Ibuka on the field together. And I asked Ibuka. I said, hey, man, when Godwin started, you know, heating up, did you see a difference in coverage? He goes, well, it's really team by team and week by week. And I couldn't believe what he was saying. And I said, are you saying there wasn't a benefit to having Godwin making plays? And he didn't want to come out and say, yeah, they loosened up on me. He didn't want to say that.
Maybe you'll ask that after Evans comes back. Is there a difference in coverage?
I would think there was just Godwin when he got warmed up last week.
So, Ira, I got a great perception question to ask you about the Bucks. Fantastic.
I got a question for you, Steve, before you chime in. And Lee makes the point, fair. We hate each other. You know, now it goes both ways.
Not you and Lee.
No. It goes both ways with these two teams. So, Steve.
Saints and Bucks.
You know, I know you do your research on the Saints, just like you did with the Cardinals going into that game. Are the Saints going to be motivated to upset the Bucks apple cart here because they hate them? And are you expecting a big effort from New Orleans?
The Saints have a new head coach. He's not on the hot seat. They play solid defense, and I don't think effort is a question there. The question is talent execution. So I'm sure they'll get after it, but they're not a very good team. I've seen a bunch of Saints games, not very good. We'll get into our predictions and our picks for the game, Ira. Let me hit you with this. So all the fans listening, the Buccaneers fans out there, us, we're watching the games through a Bucs lens, right? And we also listen to all the post-game commentary through our Bucs lens, and we're listening to it to Bucs people for the most part, unless it's a national story. So, Ira, I tune into Arizona radio on Tuesday morning to catch up on the Monday reaction from the different shows about the game. Now, AQ Shipley does a regular visit on Arizona radio. Now, he's on the Cardinals radio broadcast. So he was at the game. I got pictures of him at the game, talking to Light, doing his thing. He knows the Bucks inside and out. He was their assistant coach in 2021 after playing for them in 2020. So he knows the team. I'm listening to the shows, and the fans there are losing their minds because Todd Bowles said at his post-game news conference that Anthony Nelson made a big 4th-and-1 stop in that game. Ball said the formation told us the ball was going outside, and asked later about the game-winning stop. Ball said we kind of knew what the route was, and Servassier closed it nicely. So the fans over there and the media over there are like, Todd Bowles knew exactly what we were doing on two of the biggest plays of the game. What the hell kind of coaching is this? We got outcoached. We got outcoached by Todd Bowles. So that was the perspective in Arizona. And Shipley said, hey, I've worked with Bowles. He said Bowles and Mike McDonald over in Seattle, those are guys who just know stuff other guys don't. And he used the term brilliance at picking up offenses.
You know, part of it also could be, Lee, that in some sense, and Bowles tries to do this all the time, and he's not always successful, but by your alignment and who's blitzing and what you're doing, you sort of dictate where the ball has to go. You know, there's two sides to the equation. So Bowles could have picked some things up from what they were doing, but he also could have tried to control where the ball was going to go. And your guy, Servassier Dennis, he was in the vicinity, Lee. He was in the vicinity. Now, it wasn't a great pass from Brissett. It wasn't. But he was there, Lee. He was there. He wasn't 10 yards behind the guy, which we've seen all too much this season. So, good. I'm glad that Cardinal fans are up in arms about Arizona. I'm glad.
It was kind of funny. And, you know, I'll be honest. I watched the news conference from Bowles. I didn't pick up on that.
You know what Cardinal fans should be pissed off about,
Until I heard
about,
it
Lee?
In Arizona.
No. On 3rd-and-1, the guy threw a bomb. On 3rd-and-1. And so now it's 4th-and-1, and you got to convert. And Nelson did make a nice play. You know, once in a while, Nelson makes big plays.
Yeah, he saves them every year a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, then there's the other 800 plays.
Steve, you haven't mentioned the Buck story will be told for a international audience. I believe it's international. Yeah.
Let's get into the picks first. Then we'll get into the Buccaneers documentary.
All right, I'm not going to go first.
I'll just go first. Last seven games, Saints average 12.9 points a game.
Pitiful.
They stink on offense. Stink to the nth degree. They are worse than what we saw in 2013 and 2014 from the Bucs by a mile. I watched them against Miami last week, and they needed a miracle onside kick at the end, which they got. They couldn't do anything with it, but they scored, I think it was 14 points. So it's just bad. And Kamara, I believe, is out.
Rookie quarterback.
They can't score. I'm going Saints hitting their average, 13 points, and the Bucs putting up 24. 24-13 Bucs.
I'm 11-1. Let me say it again. I'm 11-1, picking Buck games. The only screw-up was New England, which is fair enough. I'm going to think that ending the three-game slide psychologically, Lee, is a boost to this football team, this young, relatively young football team. And I'm going to say that they take care of business for the second time against the slimy Saints, 2010. Buccos, and they go to 8-5.
Bucks 24, slimy Saints 23.
Oh, again, it goes down to the wire.
Until I see that defense fixed, it ain't fixed. Division rival, just because a team is playing lousy, it's a division game. I just am not impressed with the Bucs right now. I said a couple weeks ago they're a bad team. Yeah, they beat the Cardinals. That was not an impressive win. I was kind of like what Ronnie Barber said. I have no faith in this defense. 24-23 Bucs. They squeeze out.
They hang on?
The Bucs hang on and win. Or actually, they kick a late field goal and win.
Buck fans, they'd like a breather, Steve. They'd like a game that's over in the middle of the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see a 30-point win, yeah.
Like the Saints were trailing 16-0 at halftime to the Dolphins.
Dolphins let their foot off the gas.
I think the Bucs would love to see something like that and just ride it out to a nice, Bucs fans anyway, nice 27-10 win. Can't have faith that the Bucs will do that.
You know, it's such a good win that you'd be able to save guys for Thursday night. Get them off the field.
Exactly. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Lee makes a great point there. The Thursday night coming up against Atlanta. For me, it's more about the Saints, that they are that bad. And I feel weird. I know it's a cliche and it's probably accurate, but I don't like the whole division game, throw the records out the window. Todd Bowles even said it. That never seems to really play out. It never seemed to work for the Bucs when they stunk, that you just threw the records out the window.
They're that bad.
they're gonna beat Atlanta this week in 2011 because, you know, division game. I seem to remember the Saints clobbering them over and over and over.
Yes.
So I don't throw it out. I just think the Saints aren't good. Going 12-1, Ira?
Yeah, I believe I'm going 12-1.
So Amazon, the Buccaneers created
huge
this
huge announcement. Huge.
Huge. So the Glazers paid untold millions to produce this expansive 50-year documentary of the team.
Give Ed Glazer his due. This is an Ed Glazer baby.
Ed Glazer sparked this, wanted to create a deep dive into his team with his family, 50 years. So you know, Ira, the Bucs had several hundred hours of video interviews to create this documentary.
I think it was 700 hours, I think.
And you got, what, six of those hours?
Yeah, maybe more.
And ownership sat down to talk. I knew they flew in Trent Dilfer. They went out to fly out to see people.
They talked to Ron Wolf to try to get the first few years from his perspective with Leroy Selman and McKay.
They brought people to Tampa, and they set up shop in the indoor facility to do interviews.
You know they talked to Doug Williams, right, Steve?
Sure.
Of course.
And the point is they also flew crews out to go meet a guy who maybe couldn't walk too well anymore or couldn't travel or somebody they wanted to talk to. So they went all over, and they created this documentary, and it was supposed to be a movie.
I thought it was going to be a theatrical release.
That was sort of what we were told behind the scenes, and they turned out they had too much good stuff. And now Amazon has bought it, and it's a 10-part documentary series that's dropping December 11th.
Steve,
Thursday.
Lee, are you shocked that Amazon would agree to a 10-part series? Or is it, you know, that's what Amazon does. I mean,
kind of. They're looking for content. People know, as was evidenced on Thanksgiving Day, we live in a football world. And the sooner people embrace that, the better we will be as a peoples. So Amazon knows people want football. In a couple months, there will be no football. They got to have their football. They got to have their fix. And then there's a 10-part series there on an NFL team.
Steve,
sure, they won.
Yeah, Steve, I was telling somebody, you know, if you're not a Buck fan and you're in Lincoln, Nebraska, are you going to watch this? And somebody said, as far as these streaming services, these niche programs, they don't mind it. If it's a niche program, it's not like it's going to be on, you know, WTSP Channel 10. even if it's a niche show, they'll go with it.
Well, I asked somebody who sort of knows the industry, so I was curious, what did you think the Bucks got? What were they paid by Amazon for this? And his first response was, well, let's put it this way, they didn't get their money back for all the production. But his second thing he said was, the Amazon types, they love something that doesn't go bad. And
shelf life.
Yeah. So a documentary at 50 years on a team has huge shelf life. And the Buccaneers are able to package in marketing. Who knows what the Bucks agreed to? Like, hey, well, every year we'll put out this and this and tell people to, you know, watch our thing on Amazon, and we'll run some excerpts and we'll be selling it for you for the next 5-10 years.
This preseason game brought to you by Amazon.
No, telling people to go watch the documentary is what I'm talking about on Buccaneers.com. Okay.
This preseason game is presented by Amazon Prime. Make sure you go watch the Bucks 10-part documentary.
That could be that. Yeah. I was just talking about the Bucks saying on their own media, to their own fans, to their own season
website,
ticket holders.
Okay.
Yeah, everywhere. You know, good for the
social
Bucks.
Media.
We
yeah.
can't wait to watch it.
My understanding,
because
Steve,
you've got at least, you got some more FaceTime than Rick Stroud, I heard.
I got some FaceTime.
I heard some rumor.
Lee, my understanding is that all 10 episodes will drop at once.
Oh, is that right?
It's
yeah.
not going to be a weekly thing.
Sure. So you can binge.
Yeah, you can binge.
Now, how come you didn't get to watch a preview? Forget the trailer.
And it looks good.
You're in it.
No, you need
to see that 10-part
series. They didn't give me a preview. Steve, can't you see DeKemper going home about 3:20 in the morning after the Falcons game? And immediately going to Amazon Prime and watching 6 hours of the Buck documentary and hitting the sheets at about 11 in the morning.
No.
Can't you see that?
Well, I'm hoping it drops in the morning so I can watch a little bit.
I'm not sure it will drop in the morning.
Well,
I don't
know
that.
I don't know. But it will be Thursday, so exciting stuff. And we'll be dissecting stuff. I want to know what's not in there. I'll give you an example. So you would think...
Well, I got to talk about Bo Jackson.
You got to talk about that.
A documentary that's supposed to fan 50 years of key moments in the franchise. Do we agree with that, Ira?
Yeah.
Okay. So a key moment in the franchise's history was tanking the final game of the 2014 season to draft Jameis Winston, a pivotal figure in the franchise.
I'm not sure that will be discussed.
Are they going to admit that and discuss it? Who made the call?
Well, first of all, I don't even know if Lovey's on the podcast.
I'll lay money he's not.
I'm not sure. But I've been told that they don't whitewash.
That's a big moment in the franchise history.
It is.
I want to see him 15 minutes on toes on the line.
But I know I mentioned Mercer. So, you know, in 2013 or whatever that was. I called it a season like I've never seen before. And I've been through a bunch of them. Are you going to watch one episode at a time, or are you going to binge it, Lee? What are
Depends
you do?
When and where I'm watching it.
Depends how good it is. I mean, we haven't seen it. I hope it's great, but, you know, you got to really want to keep going.
It will be. It's mostly chronological, which most
good.
Things are.
Yeah.
Most things are. So,
outside of Instagram.
I can't wait to grade your performance here on the show. That'll be fun.
The only thing I didn't do was bring my guitar. I could have sang a... Rocky Top or something.
We'll be dissecting it. We'll be dissecting it at JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, I got to ask you this, and I mean this in all seriousness. And I want a serious answer.
You got a serious face over there, Steve.
Serious question. Now, the Buccaneers sat down with some media other than you for this documentary to get perspective on, you know, and they sat with you for 5 hours. Maybe they took 14 minutes from Ira over the course of 10 episodes. Do you think that you could tell the story best of the Buccaneers without sitting down with either me or Lee for an hour to get our take on some key moments?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they ask the wrong question, DeKemper could put his microphone down and go to the parking lot.
Yeah.
You never know what's going
on. Well, that wouldn't make the movie.
Go to Jamel Dean's stall.
I mean, we got iced out.
Are you guys feeling the neglected over
Ed,
there?
Ed Glazer no. iced us out.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't come along till Gruden was on his way out the door.
It's not about...
And there was a lot of history
No,
before
no, it's not
that.
About when we weren't there. It's about when we were there.
Maybe they felt that I was representing the business.
Maybe.
That could be. I'm not worked up about it because I don't like doing video. I mean, I will if I have to. Video is the visual medium. You don't want me on there. You want Rachel Watson on there.
Steve, you'll be in the next 50 segment. You know, 50 years from now, they'll talk to you. If you're still around.
So what's your take on it, Larry? You didn't give me a straight answer.
My straight answer is I believe I represented this venture in grand fashion, And there's no reason for you to muddy the waters.
Yeah, I was going to say, usurp your...
Don't usurp me, Steve. We're going to be talking about this for the next couple of months. So we're all picking the Bucks. We're all picking the Bucks
because it's the Saints. Stink. And if they don't win the game, well...
I don't know what to say. I seem a little more confident than Mr. DeKemper.
Well, he's got a one-point victory. Victory's a victory. It's the NFL.
That's what Todd Bowles would say.
All right, Ari, you got a final thought for Bucks fans?
Pearl of wisdom.
My sprained knee is feeling better. That's number one.
Tell us about that. What's going on?
Well, I had an x-ray.
You're still waiting on the results?
No. I had an x-ray. The doctor looked disappointed because he's an orthopedic surgeon. He's the guy that did my hip. And he came in the room. Clean. He had already looked at the x-ray, and he's despondent.
Because he's not getting any work?
His chin's on the floor over there because he couldn't say you need a procedure. He goes, it's a sprain. Get the hell out of here.
How do you think you sprained it? On a tennis
court? I don't know. I was walking down the corridor at Cleveland Airport. Damn Cleveland. It was a great trip, except for that. I might have a little arthritis, Steve.
Basically, you got a Baker Mayfield injury on your non-kicking foot.
They call it a Baker cyst. You know, it's, you get something behind your knee. I think they call it a Baker
cyst. Really? That's not a sprain.
I don't think I have that.
So you can blame Jimmy Haslam about this,
I can blame Jimmy. And you know, Mayfield, this comes out to you. I'm going to keep asking you about the Panthers until you play the Panthers.
Until he breaks down?
I'm going to keep talking about it.